15% couple. The UK doesn't want, because Europe only wants 5. Where is Sweden, and why do you want couple support?
We want to decouple all the couples support premiums today. We want to get rid of the system, so to say.
For cattle?
For anything, for everything, yeah. Yeah, please.
So I need to pop off. Do you hear me, or do I have to use the microphone?
And use the mic.
Use the mic.
You mentioned that Sweden wants to be this culinary nation. You certainly have some goals. How have you achieved them this far? For example, what kind of goals do you have in that?
Of course, we have goals, yes. We want to increase the production, if you talk about one of the focus areas, that's the primary production. We want to increase the production, that's one goal. We want more slaughterhouses and more dairies, small-scale dairies and so on. We want more restaurants tourist attractions all over the country. And we have, I think it is a little bit over 30 new slaughterhouses all over Sweden today. It increases the animal welfare and need of transportation. I think we have a kind of brieflet in English somewhere, and there you can see in print some of the goals and some of the. We'll fix it.
They have it in their conference kit. Yeah. So in your bag.
Yeah. So do you think you have reached?
Yes, I think I started up the vision in 2008, and it was a vision over 3 years, and when the Prime Minister reformed the government in 2010. He said that this is not only for US skill. This is nowadays, it is a government vision. And the overall goal, that is to increase employment in the rural areas. That's my overall goal, because Sweden is a very, very sparsely populated country. If you compare with other countries in Europe, for instance. So that's my overall goal, to increase employment in the rural areas.
Could you use your microphone?
Use the mic, please.
Your name?
Okay. You said in your speech, my name is Frederik Tandvikser from Landbrugsavisen in Denmark. You said you will reduce burdens for farmers with 50%, and you have already reached 37%. From when to when will you reduce by 50%, and could you give some examples of how you have reduced burdens and how you will do it in the future?
A very good question, if I say so. We started up the project in 2006, and this is a government project, and the vision for the government, that is to reduce the administrative burdens with 25%, but since I've already reached the goal, I did it, I think it was in 2009, I have a personal or ministerial goal, and that's 50% to 2014. So it is 14 years. So it's between 2006 and 2014. And example, nowadays we have, how will I translate it? We have you control yourself. most costs has been reduced by reducing the official control mechanism, and you do it yourself. As a food producer, for instance, you have, as you know, you have the same system. I know in Denmark you have controls on farm level, in stores, and in the industry, and so on. We have it, of course, but you do it yourself. It's some billions actually that we have reduced the costs by legislate and made it possible for you to control yourself, self-control. Use the mic, please.
And in the future, how will you continue reducing the...
Today we have a few projects, and I'll mention one of them especially because I believe very much in it, and that is a project that we've named One Way In. As a forester, for instance, today you might have to have contact with 18 authorities. The project that is to make one authority responsible for all contacts with other authorities. You might have contact with the army, with the defense authorities, with the culture authorities, with the nature authorities, as well as forest authorities. Now the project is set up, and we've said that the forest authority has to take contact with the defense authority if it is needed, and then contact you if you have to do something special because the army want a place to train their troops or something. So that's another example. One other example that is you have as a entrepreneur, as a farmer, for instance, often to leave papers and tell authorities how many tractors, how many hectares, how many animals, cattle you have, or sheep, or whatever. Of course, yes, but it should be enough to leave these numbers to one authority, and then other authorities could get them from that authority that sample the numbers of tractors and so on. That's another example. It doesn't take that much time for you to leave it to one. Today you might have to leave these measures to 5, 6, 7 authorities. We are a well-developed country when we talk about authorities in Sweden.
And you said, for one last question, how many billions have you saved the farmers for doing this?
How many?
How much money have they saved into this?
In my ministry, we had costs around 9 billion Swedish crowns in 2006, and today it is around 5.7 billion Swedish crowns. That's in totally. That's for farmers, for food producers, for foresters, fishermen, and so on. It's the total for my ministry. If you want to divide it for farmers and foresters, for instance, then I think Madeleine can help you, but I don't have the figures in mind right now. Now we have a lady up there.
Hi, I'm Ali Lawson from the UK Farmers Weekly. You mentioned that co-products from bioethanol production is helping to reduce soya imports. I just wondered, is it a national policy to reduce the amount of soya imports and be more kind of self-sufficient? And also, how much have co-products from bioethanol helped to reduce soya use so far?
I'm sorry, I don't have any figures, but we have one rather big ethanol plant in Sweden, and the waste, so to say, the protein, is used for feed to animals, to cattle. and so on from that plant. But if you want me to say figures, I have to check it up. But it's a goal, yes. It's a goal in Europe. In Europe, we import a lot of protein, and that's a European goal. We even had premiums 2-3 years ago, if you remember, in Europe, to increase the production of protein crops. Yeah, to finish.
Yeah, Riitta Mustonen from Finland again. You mentioned in this Forest Kingdom vision that you want to introduce young people forestry. What kind of projects do you have this? How do you take children to the forest?
We have a booklet about the Forest Kingdom as well as the Culinary Sweden, if you want to read more about it. But one example that is that we provide every pupil that are in the fifth class, I think it is, with a possibility to explore the forest. And with a couple of million Swedish crowns for that project, and that's one example how we do to get even the youngsters that grow up in the center of Stockholm to explore and see that we have a lot of forests in Sweden, and there will be even in future a lot of jobs, and you can use it to play and so on, and we have games. Use the forest, but don't use it up. Yeah, please.
Irish.
Yep.
Is a cap reform deal on the cards for next year, in your opinion?
For the farmers, for the governments, and so on in Europe, I hope. But now we are in a hurry, because we have to implement the reform in the member states as well as take the legislation, the directives in Brussels and Luxembourg. But I hope that we will have a reform next year. But we are in a hurry, a real hurry right now.
How big a role will the Irish presidency have?
The role of the Irish presidency.
Yeah.
They have a very important role, because it, you know, agriculture. You have a body, authorities and so on. Now we have Cyprus, and that's a tiny, small country, and they don't have that many people that can deal with the reform. So you have a homework to do 2013. Yeah. And I hope really you sort it out, because that's important for European farmers. Oh, sorry. sorry. Yeah, please.
It's hard to transfer the farmers in Sweden and Great Britain. What's your thought about that?
Right now we have a volatility because of flooding and drought and so on in many parts of the world. Some commodities are very, very high in price and will increase in price, probably, we don't know. And that affects the milk sector right now, for instance, which have hard times. But the overall problem, as I see it, that is China and India, because they are very big importers of commodities from US and Europe. And when their economy grows just a little bit, then the flow from US and or America, the South America as well as US, and Europe will go as it always has, and then it will be normal again. The goals for the policies, I'll say, it's easier if farmers do things themselves or in cooperation than to make policies in Europe, for instance, because we have always 2 years to decide and to get the money. We have one example, 2009, we decided in Brussels to give a small premium to the milk farmers in 2009, and they had it 1 year after, and then the price for milk was a bit higher or much higher than it was in 2009. So it's not that easy. And then we have the administrative burdens. You have to ask for the support, you have to control it, you have to build up a mechanism the authority level and so on. So it's easier. And I've said that a way to support that is to support the premiums for the guarantees or for the insurance or whatever. It's much easier for governments or for EU to support than a little bit level up this volatility that we see. It's much easier and costs the administrative bodies much less. Yeah, please. Oh, okay. No. Ät upp mikrofonen.
I have one more question concerning what you were mentioning about the very high feed prices and the drought. That some countries in the European Union have demanded to have their premium paid out in advance this year because of winter. And this is what the Swedish farmers union has demanded also in Sweden. Will you know to them have a premium in advance?
Right now I've asked the Board of Agriculture to see whether it is possible or not. So I have no answer today on the direct question. Yeah, please. I hear you, but I'm not sure that...
I think it's better if you turn on the mic.
You have to eat it up.
Okay. Well, I'm Michael from Finland. I would like to ask you about this first and second pillar, because you told us that you are a little bit disappointed on what you have reformed, because you would have hoped a stronger second pillar.
Mm.
But do you think yourself that it's realistic? I think that there's a lot of countries hoping for a stronger first pillar, and then there are also strong forces working for removing the support from the second pillar to the first pillar, and the other way could become a fairly a mess. So what do you think about the possibilities?
The overall question when we talk about CAP, that is the question, who's going to pay? Who's going to pay? We have 12 new member states that want equal conditions. And I think that is a fair ask. It is fair now when we are one union, one European market, then we should have, as I see it, fair conditions between, if I take an example, within Estonia and Finland. And it's not fair today. And then we have a problem with money, because it costs a real lot of money. And it will be, if the head of state says that, okay, we'll pay, then it will cost Finland, Sweden, the Netherlands, and Germany a huge amount of money, a huge amount of money. And I'm not sure that taxpayers in Finland, Sweden, Germany, the Netherlands, and Denmark, we have 5-6 countries that are net payers. And they have to pay more money and people, taxpayers in Sweden, if I talk for Swedes, they want better healthcare, better education, lower taxes, better roads. They don't want to send money to Brussels. I've been in thousands of meetings, meeting people, especially in the rural areas. And sometimes I ask, do you want to increase the amount that we pay to Brussels? Those who want that, please raise your hand. And I have never seen a hand raised. That's the overall problem. That's the overall problem. And I suppose it's the same in Finland. I suppose Finns are like Swedes. They think we already pay too much to Brussels. At the same time, do we both in Finland and Sweden want equal conditions within Europe? Another answer that is that I think that consumers should pay for the food commodities they buy, but they can't pay for the open landscape. They can't pay for environmental conditions, nature conditions, for culture, and so on. But that is taxpayers prepared to pay for through Brussels. And I support it, because you can't pay for the open landscape. You can't pay for the commodities that come from the northern part of Finland and Sweden when you buy milk. You can't. So we have to pay it through our taxpaying, through Brussels, and that we have in the second pillar. That's why I say, as I said, that we have to support. And I hope you help me in Finland, because this is a great debate in Europe. Everybody wants more money, but nobody wants to pay.
We can continue the press conference outside with personal interviews and more questions. So if you want to take pictures as well, please step aside. Outside.